9 minutes after 11, I'm taking your reactions now to what the public protector had said also this morning and the ongoing story that's also in the news, of course, Home Affairs needing to explain citizenship around the Guptas, how that's playing out for everyone involved, not just the state, Malusi Gigaba as well, who of course was the minister at the time that actually signed her. Then it turns out now that Ajay Gupta, in fact, never announced his Indian citizenship. What are the implications of that? We're keeping tabs on what's happening in Parliament. And then, of course, a range of issues just coming out of the public protector's announcements yesterday's and her remarks on the show. So let's get into a couple of the issues. The lines are open on 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. I hope the public protector will come back again, eh? I don't know. I thought I was quite nice to her, wasn't I, Danielle? She must ask James Self what it's like to be grilled by the Eusebius McKaiser show. So, public protector, if you're in the car listening, you must come back again. That was actually a gentle People of the South interview. We will still have the grilling interview. That's it. I want me and the listeners. Listeners, please do call in to unpack some of the issues, both what she said, but the issues in terms of their own merits. And there's a tweet here. This tweet is an anomaly amongst your responses. But I prefer those sometimes a little bit more than just singing from the same hymn sheet. Someone tweets, "Oh, Eusebius, you don't want the mandate of the Reserve Bank to change." I did not even get into the merits of it because you've got to separate two things. Whether the public protector can, by rights, tell the relevant committee in Parliament to initiate even a conversation, let alone actually amending the Constitution, about what the role of the Reserve Bank should be, from the very different question of what its mandate should be. And by the way, I actually think there are very bad economic reasons behind her proposal. I spared her an engagement on the economic merits of what she was saying, because for me, that's even secondary. So I'm not even conceding that the Reserve Bank's mandate is wrong, that it should be expanded. I think she doesn't understand the mandate currently. If you go on the website and you actually read the mandate, you will see that contrary to how many reporters are reporting in it, the mandate of the Reserve Bank is actually already quite expansive, by the way. So the public protector actually doesn't understand the current mandate. And secondly, there are good economic reasons for the current mandate. But the reason I didn't even go there is because the merits of the role of the Reserve Bank is secondary to the question of whether she has the lawful power to make a recommendation that we should bring about changes in the Constitution that changes this mandate. It is not her place as public protector. But even if it was her place, and this is the bit I didn't get to because I chose to not prioritize it. We can't do everything in one interview. Is that actually there are very good economic objections to what it is that she had to say. And I'm happy to engage anyone who thinks otherwise. It is 12 minutes after 11. AJ, welcome to the show.
Hi, Eusebius. Right, just a quick one. What she's suggesting that we change the Constitution to empower the Reserve Bank to do all that. The case study is only 400 k's away across the Limpopo, where I come from in Zimbabwe. The moment you let politicians through the back door into the Reserve Bank, they manipulate anything that has to do with the freedom of the monetary value, the foreign currency issues, and so on. And that money will go to where the politicians think it should go. And we know politicians, it goes to where the next election is. It's as simple as that, right? If it's going to make people happy, it goes there. So let's do a case study with Zimbabwe first before she does what she wants to do. Let her go to Zimbabwe and say, what went wrong? How come there's no foreign currency? How come you guys don't have a balance of payment? How come? It was because exactly of what she is suggesting should happen. It's as simple as that.
Okay, thanks for that, AJ. And let me actually read a bit about from the mandate. It says the Reserve Bank, and this is from the South African Reserve Bank website, the Reserve Bank is required to achieve and maintain price stability in the interest of, wait for it, balance and sustainable economic growth in South Africa. So, public protector, I spared you the embarrassment of reading from the website. The truth is that currently on its own chosen mandate, economic growth is already an important part of how it determines its instruments. But it goes on and it actually says the following, that the bank has been entrusted with the overarching monetary policy goal of containing inflation. Now, how can that be a bad thing? Keeping inflation low is pro-poor. It is not pro-big business. Because when inflation runs rampant, it is Gogo Dlamini who suffers. And so it is proper that we keep inflation low. That is very, very, very important. But the other thing is that actually it doesn't have as a structure completely unfettered powers. It says in terms of its mandate, and I quote yet again, the governor of the bank holds regular discussions with the Minister of Finance and meets periodically with members of the Parliamentary Portfolio and Select Committees on Finance. The bank publishes a monthly statement of the assets and liabilities. The bank is therefore ultimately accountable to Parliament. So the idea of it being independent and therefore completely running rampant is also not true. There's a carefully crafted and imagined relationship between the bank and the executive. What it sets out to do is to have complete independence when it comes to choosing the instruments with which to achieve its goals. But the goals are set by the government of the day. So when we drill into the economics and the policy, the public protectors are on very poor ground. But I spared her the policy debate because the preliminary question is it your place, public protector, to enter the debate before we even talk about the merits of your suggestion? And clearly in law, it is not your place. Let's go to Orange Grove. Gay, good morning.
Good morning, Eusebius. I wanted to ask the public protector why not long ago she hasn't used her influence, her good offices and her recommendation to get rid of this four-letter word Zuma running our country into the ground. To me, he is the root cause of all our problems, and Mbeki was recalled for less. I think along with tens of thousands of other South Africans, if the recent Down with Zuma march was anything to go by, absolutely ache with tears in my eyes, when are we getting rid of this man? And I wanted to ask her that, have you got any ideas on the matter?
I don't know, but it was very interesting to me that she defined remedial action to include making recommendations about changing the constitution. I cannot see how that interpretation of her powers will stand up to constitutional scrutiny.
Yes, but, you know, it just feels, it seems to me that this, if we could just impeach Zuma and then hopefully make him stand and account for all the 784 charges of corruption, graft and racketeering against him that he's ducked and dived.
Yeah.
And now he's still making pronouncements which are, to me, racially divisive about white monopoly capital, and he's still addressing Youth Day rallies and so on. And the man is so dangerous. I just cannot understand that he's still sitting there and that he hasn't long ago been recalled.
You and me both. We'll see how it plays out for the ANC over the next 2 years, Gay. Nhlamulo in Soweto, good morning.
Hi, yes, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, sir.
Good. I just want to comment that I really love your show. I like the way you unpackage everything, put it into categories, and then address it accordingly. But there's a big, big sector that everyone seems to be overlooking, and it's almost like it's past history. But if you think about it, there was a time when everyone was fighting the government, or the government was trying to fight us about the point of the secrecy bill. Which part of the strategy will they try and play there? It's almost like a game of chess. If you look at the pieces, all of them are basically falling into place now. And if you look back, you realize that there was a big, big smoke screen that was supposed to be played over the whole entire country where investigative journalism, for example, could not be able to unpack what we are seeing playing out on a daily basis at this moment. You know?
100%. Totally agree with you. Let's go to the tweet. Lucanio Vanga tweets, ironically, the question is narrow, Eusebius. Indeed, the recommendation by the PP is a brilliant one. Why narrow the debate to legalities? Dude, you can say that in a seminar or in a debate 101 idealized world. In the real world, law matters. Legalities matter. If it's not her place in terms of the Public Protector Act and in terms of the Constitution to be recommending changes to the Constitution that go to the heart of executive function and the function of a central bank, then she shouldn't make that recommendation as public protector. Law matters. If she doesn't have the lawful authority, she shouldn't veer into an arena that is not allowed for her to veer into in terms of the Constitution and in terms of the legislation that governs her office. It is simple. But at any rate, Lucanio, convince me on the merits of the proposal that it's a good proposal. Here's the funny thing about the public protector's proposal. It is actually anti-poor. It is not pro-poor because you are taking away the pressure that is on an elected government that has to answer to the electorate why it makes certain policy choices in terms of monetary policy goals, not the instrument, the goals, and why it's not doing better in terms of socioeconomic justice. And now you are saying to the public, please go and complain to the Reserve Bank governor for why you are not experiencing, quote unquote, a better life for all. So expanding the role of the Reserve Bank in the way that she envisages actually means less accountability for the government, more powers to an unelected independent structure, and that is not left-wing and progressive, it is actually right-wing and ironically anti-poor. Indeed. Nina, good morning.
Hi, Eusebius. I'm trying to work out how to frame a point. The point has something to do with dystopias in the world arena and in South Africa. And I was thinking possibly we must write an article together that's called The Singularity and Contemporary Dystopias that Reverberate in Africa. And the issues are that I think suggesting that we need to focus on logic and legality or what is proper in terms of the Reserve Bank puts aside issues like who are the characters that are playing. In other words, what are allegiances, which are all the questions that apply to who's involved with Trump and the Trump presidency. And then questions of what is happening in terms of truth, reality, and fiction in terms of how easy it is to manipulate data. In other words, did Trump get in? And if he got in, was it because of Facebook? Could our own situation be unwinding as a consequence of Bell Pottinger? And I do think that there are other ways. I think maybe, I don't know if you must have a program that specifically looks at how almost issues of logic and legality have become outdated because of the pace of social media and manipulations by the real big powers, which are Facebook, Google, Amazon. That's the kind of arena that I'm sort of trying to play with what's going on. Because the point is our ways at the moment, and this is the issue, are almost outdated and too slow to deal with the pace of change and the pace of fiction.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you, Nina. We've had that periodically. We've had our good friend Jacques Rousseau on. I think it will take hard work to change all of our susceptibility to bias, confirmation bias, including logicians, but your recommendation is well taken. Robinson, good morning.
Good morning, Sebius.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, by your standards, you were too lukewarm today. You were not hard-hitting. I don't know why.
Well, Robinson, let me say two things about that, and then let's not make me the news. I'm far less important than public servants with lots of power. There's a difference between jumping down someone's throat and asking them questions and assessing the merits of how they responded. But the other thing is, it's amazing. No, I know you're joking. It's also amazing how perceptions work, eh? The public protector thought I roasted her.
Okay.
She obviously hasn't listened to me really roasting people. But be that as it may, let's get on with her because she matters more than me. What do you make of the content of what she has said yesterday and today?
You know what? First and foremost, she's too lukewarm. She's too... That position requires somebody who is proactive, somebody who is addressing the current issues that are happening right now. She was more like evading the last question you asked her about the current state of capture. What are you doing? She said, no, we can't leave the Gogo Dlamini stuff. To her, it's more like, you know, I'll put that aside. And I'll be blunt. Part of a statement that she made yesterday was made up in the UK by Paul Bell Pottinger. That's what I can say.
Well, in addition to that, of course, we ran out of time because the response to Gogo Dlamini is two things. Don't use Gogo Dlamini as an excuse to leave Baba Gupta alone.
Yes.
Number two, Gogo Dlamini is worse off if you don't deal with Baba Gupta. There's a link.
Definitely, yes. That's true.
Thanks,
that's
Robinson.
True. I agree with you.
Have a beautiful day, my friend. Thanks for listening. Chabana in Bloemfontein. Hello.
Hello, ECBS.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. You're speaking to Chabana. Thank
welcome
you.
To the show, Chabana. You're most welcome from the Free State.
Thank you very much. Yes, I appreciate the passion and the spirit of public protector and, of course, good intentions. But here she has made the mistake that the Judge Masipa made on the case of Oscar Pretorius. She has clearly overreached. I mean, I did not do law, but I would understand even the courts when they decide on the matter of the Constitution. They will clearly say that this particular matter is inconsistent with the Constitution. Then the responsibility to change and the wording thereof will lie with the Parliament of South Africa. Here, she has actually went overboard to even suggest as to how that particular section should look like. I think she has clearly overreached, and it's a huge mistake on her part, and it does not do her any favor. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for calling in. I really do appreciate it, eh? So a couple of your responses also coming through on Twitter. Let me read a few more. Why can't you just answer a narrow legal question, Eusebius? I was hoping that you would. Why does the public protector tweet someone else not see the same in state-owned enterprises? Okay, I don't understand that one. Well, says Stephen, I rolled my eyes at that one. You tried, Eusebius. I still don't understand her response in terms of what the mandate is. And Max Naidoo tweets, essentially she said that as long as she deems it for the greater good, she can recommend anything. Absolutely, Max. And I mean, of course, I mean, that doesn't, you know, I mean, that's, you hardly need first year of law to understand that remedial action could not reasonably have been conceived by the architects of our constitution to include making just any recommendation to change the constitution, let alone one that will fundamentally change the role of an institution like the Reserve Bank and have enormous implications, not just for monetary policy, for macroeconomic policy. That is where the duties uniquely of an elected government comes in. So she's overstepping the bounds of the executive. And for me, the worst thing about it is that besides the fact that she doesn't have legal authority, it is anti-poor and bad economics. Because the current relationship between the Reserve Bank in terms of its mandate and the executive is actually very well and carefully thought through. And then there's nothing in her analysis of the status quo that starts off by problematizing the status quo. All she sees is low economic growth, inequality, and then infers from that the Reserve Bank must be a problem. Actually, the problem lies elsewhere. It lies at the sex and wall shebeen. That is the genesis of why socioeconomic rights are not enjoyed by the majority. That is the genesis. It has nothing to do with the Reserve Bank mandate. So even if we share the PP's passion for dealing with a lack of socioeconomic justice in the country, she has misdiagnosed the problem. The problem is not the Reserve Bank. The problem is the Republic of Gupta.